For an inside look at the state's biggest footy league, it's the Monday Waffle.
Welcome to the Monday Waffle. My name is Asher Gibbon and joined with me today is...
Sean Boss. And what a big week it has been in football, Asher.
Yes, it has. And your Monday Wafflers are here to unpack all of round six with you. So, Sean, should we just jump straight into it?
I think we should waffle on. What's been happening? What a big weekend.
Alrighty, let's kick it off. So, Swans this weekend lost to Claremont. It was 75-73. So, that was a 2-point loss, Sean.
That's a close game. A very tight encounter, Asher.
Yes, it was. And Swans were leading by 29 points at three-quarter time.
Wow.
So it was a brutal lesson, I think, for the Swans this weekend with a 2-point loss.
Sounds like a thrilling final quarter.
Yeah, and Claremont's fought back sensationally for the second weekend in a row, and Swans wing Jesse Turner, he finished with a game high of 20 touches, and AFL mid-season draft hopeful Jack Buller, he kicked 2 goals and also got 6 tackles, the Claremont boy. And Jesse Palmer also kicked 3 goals for Swans, but I'm thinking Swans will be looking at the game this weekend and wondering where it went wrong, and I think it was definitely in that last half, unfortunately.
Yeah, really close encounter. And yeah, they really had the, you know, the victory that they thought might have been in the bag totally snatched away from them.
Yeah.
Why don't we have a look at the next game, Perth versus West Perth. Perth 9-11-65, went down to West Perth 17-12-114. So a big scoring encounter there for the Falcons. West Perth then went on to make it 23 of the last 24 wins against Perth by spoiling the milestones of both Michael Sinclair and Matt Taylor, with the Falcons winning, by the margin I just mentioned. The game was down at Mineral Resources Park in Lathlane. Looking at disposals, they were pretty even, Asher, but, you know, one of the things that was standing out was the number of frees given out was even. It was 12 each. Hit outs were pretty even. So it's a pretty close encounter in some areas. But if you look at the scoring analysis, this really tells the story about why the game played out the way that it did.
Mm.
Scoring shots, the Falcons had 50% more than Perth. Accuracy knocking on the door of 60% for the Falcons, whereas Perth was only 45%. And the disposals per goal, only 22.8 for the Falcons, whereas the Perth needed to get 42 disposals to achieve even a goal. So,
yeah.
Told a story, and the inside 50, 60 versus 40, so a 50% differential there. So, great encounter, but unfortunately the Demons did not come up on that particular one.
Alrighty, moving on to East Perth v South Freo. So East Perth, they lost to South Freo this weekend. It was 49-78. It was a tight contest early in slippery conditions. The first goal of the game went to East Perth 10 minutes into the first quarter. And South Freo's first goal for the games was 22 minutes gone in the first. It was definitely a low scoring game, Sean, with only 4 mm-hmm. goals kicked between the sides up to three-quarter time. Definitely the Bulldogs were creating more opportunities with the ball, spending a lot of time in their forward half, and South Freo pulled away in the third quarter, kicking 5 goals. But it was a little too late for the Royals. They managed to fight back, but the damage was already done in the third quarter, unfortunately. East Perth, they've now actually lost 3 games in a row after starting the season really strongly. And South Fremantle's first points on the board for the 2023 season after starting the season on -8. So, obviously, East Perth's best on ground was definitely Brayshaw this weekend with 30 touches and 9 inside 50s. And South Freo's best was Bletchton with 28 touches, 5 inside 50s and 9 tackles. And his defensive work definitely was crucial in early parts of the game. But accuracy was definitely an issue for both sides. They had 25 behinds scored between the two sides.
Well done to the South Fremantle Bulldogs. Let's have a look now at Peel Thunder and their game against West Coast. Peel Thunder did emerge victorious, 21-15, 141, knocked off West Coast. No surprises here, Asher. 7-10, 52. Peel, no, we're not going to laugh. We're just going to tell the story of the
of the game. I'll stop laughing now. Right? You just got to laugh, I think, sometimes.
Sometimes you do. On Saturday, Peel continued their winning streak. So on the positive side of things, Peel are on a winning streak, as we all know. They continued that. It was an 89-point victory over West Coast down at Rushton Park in Mandurah, so playing at home. Despite the slow start, Peel managed to score 9 unanswered goals in the second quarter, setting them up for the final score of 141-52. Carl Warner was once again the standout player on the ground, accumulating no less than 36 disposals, 11 marks, and a goal. Liam Henry had an impressive all-round performance with 25 possessions, 11 tackles, 7 marks, and a goal, while Sam Sturt finished with 24 touches, 8 marks, and 2 goals. Peel's ruck duo of Liam Reedy and Max Noble were dominant, with Reedy scoring 33 hit-outs and 14 disposals, whereas Noble tallied 24 hit-outs and 15 disposals. Sebit Kuick kicked the 3 goals, while Joel Hamling and Nathan Wilson each added a goal from the back line. Travis Collier returned to the football with 12 disposals, 6 inside 50s, and a goal after being sidelined due to a knee and calf injury. So West Coast, a little bit about them. You know, they took a 20-point lead in the first quarter, so there's some positive news, Asha.
Yeah.
But unfortunately for them, Peel's 9 goals second quarter, you know, turnaround gave them a 35-point lead at halftime, and they just did not look back. So Peel now sits on top of the waffle ladder. Look out, is all I can say, with 5 wins and 1 loss, and will play their next game against West Perth at the Arena Joondalup on the 27th of May after the state round bye week. There was a delight in seeing Travis Collier back on the field and enjoying his footy. Best on ground for Peel was Warner, Hancock, Wem, Wagner, Sturt and Henry. And for West Coast, it was True, McCarthy, Eastiff and Creasy.
Definitely a game to watch on the weekend. It's almost like the makeshift derby.
Yeah.
With the Freo boys playing for Peel, and unfortunately there wasn't that many West Coast boys, but still you've got the West Coast waffle team, so we'll have to watch out for Peel Thunder, I think. They're doing awesome so far this season.
I think they're throwing down the gauntlet to the other teams, you know, so they could emerge. Let's see.
Yes. So moving on to our game of the week, we chose for round 6. It was East Freo and Subi. So looking at that game now, East Fremantle, they defeated Subiaco. It was 88-56 on the weekend. It was at the Wacker, which was beautiful conditions apart from a muddy centre square. East Freo's pace was definitely too much for Subi. They kicked the first 4 goals of the game, East Freo, giving them a 19-point lead at quarter time. East Freo, they definitely led the charge. They had 65 inside 50s compared to Subi's 37, which definitely made all the difference there, Sean. Subi's only lead was being in the first couple of minutes after Josh Robbins scored the first point of the game. Jack Mayo from Subi, he had his league return after doing his ACL last year in the preseason. He had a really great game. He had 2 goals and 3 behinds, so definitely good to come back and kick 2 goals for him. And then Jackson McGowan, he led the pack with 29 disposals. Cody Leggett from East Freo, he had a huge 5 goals on the weekend at the Wacker.
That's huge.
Definitely. And East Freo, they were determined from the start, and I think it definitely showed at the Wacker. And this win moves them up to 4th above Subiaco, only by percentage.
Well, only by percentage, and great to see, you know, strong performance by East Freo down at the Wacker. And let's see how, you know, it plays out for these two teams in the weeks ahead, Asha.
Yes, I think it's definitely two teams to watch out for.
That's it.
Now, it's umpire appreciation round this week in the Waffle for round six. And today at the Monday Waffle, we are joined by Courtney Gibson. So Courtney has been umpiring for 11 years, and this is her third year in the Waffle. Courtney, when did you decide you wanted to become a footy umpire?
Oh, thanks so much for having me. I guess I feel like I was born into it. Like, my dad was an umpire back in the 90s, and ever since I was born, I guess I've been primed for athletics and cross country. And then as soon as I started asking for pocket money, I was just conveniently offered an opportunity to do some boundary umpiring, which kind of seemed a pretty easy and convenient option for me. So that's, I guess, how I knew I wanted to be an umpire, because I started asking for money. And then I guess, like, the game itself is exciting to be around, and it's easy to make money when you're just running along the boundary and throwing the ball in. So I guess that's how I started.
So that's how you started. And what's it like as an umpire bossing the boys around during the game, Courtney?
You make it sound like a power trip. it's a tough balance of, I guess, managing their arousal curve, but also protecting them as well. You feel like such an evil person on the field because you're fighting with them, but then you're not at the same time. Like, you're protecting them, and then they're, I guess, they're reacting back at you. But it feels good to know that you've managed the game well. And I guess that's one of our big things that we're marked upon, is how well do we manage the game? How well do we manage that escalation curve, but also protect the ball player? And I guess you walk off the field and you go, oh, okay, I've prevented a few things here. And that makes you feel good, rather than, you know, feeling like I've shut that player down and I've shut that player down. And I guess, so yeah, there's different ways I feel good about, but that's, I don't really feel good bossing anyone around, but I will if I have to.
So obviously being a female umpire is quite a rarity in the AFL, in the Waffle especially. Yeah. Do you find that you get treated differently by fans? Are they a little more gentle with their encouragement?
I guess when I was younger, they were a bit weird about it, because I'd probably looked like I was 12 for a long time. So, like, I guess I didn't hear a lot of, like, abuse per se, but I guess as I've gotten older, I've been more strong on catching it out. So if there's, you know, if I'm walking through the crowd and, you know, before a game and someone says something to me, like, I'll stop and I'll catch them out on it.
Yeah.
But like, when I hear it on the field, like, it all becomes white noise. Like, I don't even, you know, they're probably saying awful things, but I guess the Waffle's been really proactive about umpire abuse, and, like, they've had a few campaigns and stuff which have been really strong. So I guess it's more a self-awareness piece for the fans, like, to not abuse a female, but also not to abuse an umpire. But
do you find that you have received more abuse being a female umpire, or kind of the same across the board?
I feel like it's the same, but it might be framed differently.
Yeah.
Like, but, like, at the end of the day, like, umpires, you know, the people that are watching a game are reacting to the game because you're an umpire, not because you're a female. But maybe the comments might change because they know me, or they know that I'm a female. But there's an odd occasion I might hear something, like, female specific. I'd be like, okay, really? Like,
yeah.
But I feel like it's mainly to do with our position in the game, because we're an umpire and that's their reactive mechanism.
And Courtney, yeah, like, when you're out there on the field and in the thick of it, how do you react when you hear fans shout out about a decision?
I personally don't listen to it. Like, for me to umpire my best, I have to drown it out. The more I get more emotionally involved in what the players are saying or what the crowd's saying, the more I start thinking about other things, and I start, like, the whole train of thoughts just start coming in, and that's when I start umpiring my worst. So for me, like, in terms of my own development and what I've learnt through the game as well. I've learnt just to keep my brain quiet, keep my thoughts at bay and just block it out, because at the end of the day, like, you're there to, you know, to perform a job and also to learn new things about yourself. And it's a really strong lesson to learn through this, and it learns, like, you learn it so quickly because you have to. But to not, I guess, take it personally, and the more emotionally involved you get, the more you'll bite back, and that's when you just start getting angry. But it's just a lesson that you have to learn.
Yeah. Do you have your own change rooms and facilities at games?
Most of the time, I think about 90% of the time I do. It's like the odd ground where I might not, but the waffle group and like the panel that I'm running with and everyone, every other umpire is so respectful. And even if they were sharing a room, I'll be like, I'm going for a shower. I'll be a couple minutes. And then they'll literally step out for a couple minutes and then they'll come back. So I think most of the grounds have my own, like, I'll have my own change room. But on the odd occasion where I don't, I think there's a couple of grounds where I may not, but I'll just be like, I'm going for a shower. And they'll be like, okay.
Yeah, that's good.
So, like, it's not a problem. But, like, say if someone was offended or something, or someone was, like, a bit awkward about it, the guys that we umpire with are absolutely fine. And if we had a problem, like, we'd have the confidence to say, okay, well, stop now. Like, let us do this.
Yep. So,
And what's your favourite part of being a waffle umpire?
I've umpired a few in a few different groups, and the waffle is by far my favourite because of the people. The group itself is so open and, like, genuine, and we hang out all the time. Like, we go to gym together, like, we go out for dinner after training. Like, the group is a lot more intimate and, like, so much more friendly than, say, the VFL, because the VFL has a lot more people in it. And so they have a higher turnover of umpires. Like, there are beautiful people in the VFL, but there's just so many people that you don't have time to, I guess, form a genuine connection. But I love the waffle group is awesome.
Yep.
And so progressive as well.
That's really good to hear. Definitely with the umpires, because we know obviously it is a lot more closer with there not being as many teams in the waffle compared to the VFL. So what's your favourite ground to officiate on if you had to choose?
It would be a small one, that's for sure.
Yep.
I'd probably say South Bridge is pretty good, but I really like the Wacker is really nice. Apart from the centre at the moment,
yeah,
I umpired there on the weekend. It was just absolutely mud, but the change rooms are really hot as well.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, like, I would say a small ground, because, you know, when you've got three of us on the field, like, most of the mid zone is, like, quite large that we run across. So, yeah, I don't know. I'd say a small ground.
And what about game day? Like, what does that look like for you when you're going to umpire? What does a typical game day look like for you?
Yeah, we have to arrive about an hour and a half to an hour before match. I'll personally meditate for a while beforehand, just to get my head in the space. For me, if I separate, like, if I'm thinking about too many things, if I'm thinking about what I'm doing after the match or before the match, all my grocery shopping, like, I just am not in the right headspace to even process a free kick or anything. I'll probably look through the handbook and the law book a few times, just scroll through. I've got my own little document, which I've, like, written up with all, like, the, like, almost like a cheat sheet just to refresh my brain. I'll watch some clips on, like, marking contests, all the stuff that I struggle with, all the stuff that's harder to see in a fast kind of moving game. Like, there's a fair bit of prep that goes on, like, just for me personally. I don't know about anyone else, but, like, yeah, I'll probably sit at the game for a little bit just to, I guess, listen to the sounds of the game. But I try and keep my day fairly free, so I'm not stressing about anything. And then, yeah, we do all the paperwork after the match, and then we go home and review it all over the weekend. I'll probably watch maybe a quarter or two after the match. We'll get some feedback if there's a coach, and then we'll catch up on Tuesday at training, go through the clips with the coach, and yeah, there's a fair bit that goes on.
You've obviously got to be pretty fit to be an umpire. So what does your week look like? You were just talking about you review your training and all of that sort of stuff. So what does a week look like on the lead up to a match?
Yeah, so we train twice a week at South Perth. So we might do like a longer running session on the Tuesday and then like a sprint session on Thursday and then a game day. But I'll most likely do gym twice a week, and I'll do a swim or a bike session as well. There's a group of us who do, we've been training for like triathlons and stuff over the off season. So we're sort of in that a little bit. So we'll do some swimming and bike riding, just, you know, as much as we can, just because we enjoy that sort of stuff. But there's a fair bit of running. Like we'll probably do maybe 30 to 50 Ks of running a week.
Wow.
And then, yeah, like, you know, I come from a running background, so that's like what I do.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, like in off season, I might do like, you know, 60, 70 K weeks. You know, just, yeah, that's just a normal kind of week for me. But I don't know for everyone else, they have a different background of running and exercise. So whatever they're up to, I guess they've just got to be right for match, for their match sort of fitness, which could look like anything for most people.
And Courtney, what's your favourite post-match recovery snack or drink?
I really enjoy the Up and Goes.
Oh, really? Okay.
What flavour?
What flavour? I'm a chocolate fan. Yep.
Chocolate,
but I'm a dairy-free kind of girl, so it's called like the Bomb, which is like the oat milk version.
Yep. So, I had one of them this morning, actually.
Up and Go.
Yeah.
I really love them. I used to have them all like through school because I used to train before school and stuff. So I'd sit in class and just drink them under the desk.
Yeah.
But I love like hot cross bun seasons.
Yep.
Like I'll have one before the match, one after the match.
It's good carbs. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I always have to eat after a match.
Of course you
get
do.
Too hungry.
Yeah.
So what do you do when you're not umpiring games on the weekend?
I'll probably ride with like our friends. We usually do maybe 60 to 100 k's of bike riding. We might do like a park run. They're pretty filled weekends if we don't umpire.
Yep.
Only I probably have maybe 4 weeks off a year of not exercising, but yeah, we'll just fill the week with something. Yeah.
Yeah, park runs are fun. I did one on the weekend and, you know, pretty short, sharp and shiny. Get it done.
Yeah, it's not too much of a commitment. You got the rest of the day.
That's it.
That's good. Yeah.
Cool. Alrighty. I think that's all our questions for you, Courtney. Is there anything else you wanted to add? I might ask you as well. It was umpire appreciation round. So did you feel appreciated this weekend? That's the question.
I got fist bumps from all the players, but it was a really funny moment on the ground on the weekend. One of the, like in the first quarter, maybe first 5 minutes, this person from the crowd yelled out, "We appreciate you." It was so funny. I think I chuckled. I looked around, I was like, "Who are you?" It like, sounded angry, but like it was like, "We appreciate you." Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
I guess
funny.
I felt appreciated, yeah. But I didn't know the game. Like when the game's on, like everyone's in like game mode. So
Yeah, everyone's in the zone.
Exactly. Yeah,
well, Courtney, thank you so much for taking some time out. I know you've had a busy weekend and a busy Monday as well, but thanks for joining us on the Monday Waffle.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Courtney.
All right, thanks.
Bye now.
See ya.
All right, see ya.
Hey. You're on the Monday Waffle. It's now time to have a look at the ladder and see where everyone stands after the sixth round. So, Asha, what's going on? Where
now,
are we?
Sean, I'm looking at this ladder and there is a lot of the same.
Yeah.
When I'm looking at points wise, which is making definitely a bit of an interesting season. I think things are about to get juicy.
Yeah.
So, looking first, we have Peel Thunder. They are sitting first on the ladder on 20 points, but they better watch out because Claremont are also sitting on 20 points and it's only percentage separating them at the moment,
yeah,
Sean.
Yeah, that's a close contest. Both of those teams have only lost one game out of the first six. The competition's heating up, and I'm just wondering when they'll be facing off against each other.
I know. Very soon, I hope.
Yeah, we'll have to check the fixtures.
Yes, we will. And then, to make things even more interesting, our third, fourth and fifth, they're all sitting on 16 points. So it's percentage that, again, is separating these guys. We have West Perth third on the ladder, East Freo is fourth, and Subi is fifth.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's still relatively early days in the competition, but looking forward to the finals, this is, you know, shaping up to be a hotly contested final series.
Yeah, it is. Well, I think definitely heading into mid-season, things are about to get hectic. I think the next few games could make or break some of our teams.
Indeed. So then looking outside the top five, we've got East Perth. They're 3-3, right? So they're on a mixture of 3 wins, 3 losses for 12 points. So they're still in touch. But then we've got to drop right down to the South Freo Bulldogs, Swan Districts and Perth all on 4 points.
Yes, they are. What is interesting there, Sean, is that South Freo are actually 3-3 as well. But obviously because they got those negative points at the start of the season, they are only sitting on 4. So I think these next few rounds will really show where they're at.
Yeah, so I guess in real terms, they're effectively, what, on 12 if there wasn't that penalty situation. So they're in contention. So a lot can happen throughout the course of the season. We're 6 rounds in, a lot to come, but a story is already being told, Asher.
Yes, it is. And then we have Swan Districts. Obviously, they're sitting 8th with Perth as well. They're also on the 4 points with South Freo. Swannies and the Demons, they've both only won one game so far this season, and they've had 5 losses. Poor Swannies, they'll definitely be a bit rough after their 2-point loss to Claremont on the weekend. And then, unfortunately, down at the bottom, sitting last, we have West Coast.
Yeah.
Still yet to win a game, so
Let's see how they go. But I think, you know, there's some good players there, Asher. I think they just need to keep working hard, engaging in the right activities with their training, do everything they can to keep their attitudes positive.
Yeah.
And then, you know, results will come. You know, it's going to be a story of one step at a time, and a story of improvement this year. And hopefully things will start to get better from here on in.
There we are. That is ladder chat done for this week. Can't wait to see how the ladder's looking in a couple of weeks.
Can't wait for it. Let's see how it all goes. So shall we talk? Shall we live on the edge and talk about the state game?
Yes, we should, because it's a bye this weekend for our waffle teams because of the state game.
Oh, is it?
Yes. Wow.
So the guys that aren't playing in the state game get to have a bit of a rest and
rest
their muscles and maybe have an ice bath and get ready for round 7.
I think they'll still be working hard, but it would be nice to have a little weekend off for the lucky ones.
For sure. So,
or would you say that they're not lucky because they're not playing in the state team? That's what one might argue.
Well, the state rounds in Adelaide, I'm sure that'll be a bit of fun as well as playing the footy.
Yep. So
do you want to walk us through?
Yes. So we have the Waffle team, the state team. They're taking on South Australia, the Sample state squad, this Friday night. So May 15, 1:40 p.m. at Adelaide Oval. Now, the state game between the Waffle and Sandville is one of the longest traditions in Aussie football, and it's one of the biggest rivalries. And the first state game between the two teams began in 1904. So this state game will actually be the 98th time the two states have met.
Wow.
Yes, and so WA would definitely be looking for revenge this year. They've been defeated the past 3 years to South Australia.
That is not a track record that they want to continue.
No.
And I'm sure they'll be digging deep to have some pride in Western Australia. But almost 100 years of history of going up against each other. And now it's easier to understand why, you know, there's very much an arch rivalry going on there.
Yes, there is. And the string of injuries, I think, for our state squad could threaten their chances this weekend, Sean. So we have East Freo's Jono Marsh. He came off the ground in the second quarter in the Sharks game against Subi on Saturday. He did later return to the field, though, but the club is still waiting to see the extent of the damage done after his knock to the shoulder. Then Subiaco's Lee Kitchen, he is in doubt over a hamstring injury, and his teammate Taj Schofield was spotted nursing a sore ankle. Then hamstring injuries for Swans pair Sam Fisher and Aidan Clark are also a concern for the state team. The pair are also likely starters, if not for injury, so that's a bit of a problem, I think. Mm. But they'll be able to get around it. Then South Rio's Jimmy Miller, he's also suffering a medium-term ankle injury. Then mid-season draft favourite Jack Buller, he made his waffle return this weekend for the Tigers after sustaining a calf injury last month. I think if he is all ready to play and on the team, he will definitely be pulling out all the stops with the mid-season draft coming up, and he is a favourite. So last year, WA, it was a 4-point loss in the game. So WA finished on 60 points while South Australia were on 66. That was not correct information, Sean.
That's all good.
It was a 4-point loss, so it was 66-70. And so the game on Friday, it's going to be the opener to the AFL's Port Adelaide and Melbourne game.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, if you're in Adelaide or if you're heading there for the weekend, bit of a doubleheader.
Bring it.
And yeah, so the 34 squad man for the waffle side, it was chosen last month, only 3 rounds into the waffle season.
Well, let's see how that one plays out. But how exciting to be the curtain raiser for the AFL game.
Definitely.
Of Port Adelaide versus Melbourne, and that'll be a good contest in itself as well. So so round 7, yeah, not happening next weekend because of the state game.
Yep.
But, you know, we can look forward to that the following week.
Yeah.
In terms of the waffle W, quick snapshot, what happened on the weekend?
So the race to the Waffle Double W finals is underway, Sean. They're getting close, and Claremont is now a game clear. They're topping the ladder closely followed by South Rio. Subi and Swan Districts are also sitting in the top 4, and East Perth is still waiting to win a game. They lost to Subiaco on the weekend, and now I think everyone's really hoping that East Perth is close to getting their first win. It's their first season.
Yeah.
Lots of those girls are lovely. They're all really hungry and fighting for a win. So I hope that comes soon for them.
New club, looking for their first win in their very first season. So yeah, I think everyone's in the background, encouraging them, cheering them on.
Yep.
I'm sure that will happen soon. And what a celebration that will be.
Once that
one's in the bag.
That will be Monday Waffle special.
There you go. So, Asha, I wanted to say thank you for today. I think we've had some great chats about the waffle. We've had a great guest in terms of umpire appreciation round in terms of Courtney Gibson.
Yeah.
I think we've both been pretty well behaved, so that's always a win.
I think we have. So definitely we will be here with a Monday Waffle episode next week. We will be unpacking the state game from Friday. So we will be unpacking that and then looking into round 7.
We are definitely unpacking that. We're going to slice and dice the data.
Yes,
Hopefully there's some good stories from the game. Wonder if there'll be any other interesting stories from the trip to South Australia. But what happens on tour stays on tour, Asha.
Definitely. And we're all hoping our Waffle boys get that win.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us.
Yeah, thanks so much. This was the One Day Waffle.
And we're signing off.
Yes, we are. Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.